You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Darkness follows me. I follow him too, but he doesn't post much.
And Daryl.
Live your life by a simple creed. Mine is have a good time all the time. Oh, and creed sucks.
Yeah, that worked out really good. Okay, greetings and welcome to episode 149 of The Training Dummies. Recorded on December 13th, 2006. My name is Daryl, and I didn't come up with an intro at all, so we're just winging it here. With me, as always, is Rob. How are you doing this evening, Rob?
Good evening, man. I'm doing all right. I just put a new TV in our bedroom, and it's huge, and it's awesome. And I watch TV, Ink Master, before we started tonight. So, yeah, I'm kind of hyped about that.
Nice, nice. You know, the problem with that is, though, that you'll stay up way too late watching TV after you go to bed. It happens.
Yeah, it's just a newer, better one. We've always had one.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, good. Grats. Joining us this evening is a guest we've been trying to get on for a while here now, which has been difficult because Legion has been full of content and BlizzCon and a lot of stuff has happened. So we're glad he's finally able to join us. So let's give a big training dummies welcome to Sloot.
Hello.
Thank you so much, dude. This is like, seriously, I'm kind of like having a moment here, dude. It's awesome.
Oh, man. I love you, man. Nah, it's my pleasure, guys. It's good to finally get on.
Yeah, I've been a huge fan, followed the stream for a long, long time, and I know you've done several other podcasts. I've listened to you on Tankcast and some other shows, and it's always really, really good to just follow you because, I don't know, you're just a very good, positive influence in the community, and I totally admire that.
Thanks, dude.
All right. Well, now that I've drooled all over you here, maybe we can get through our some speed dating. You know, get to know you a little bit. Questions. Cool. And how, what, when, where did you start playing World of Warcraft? And what is your current main?
Started playing in basically vanilla, early vanilla. Why? Well, started with Guild Wars. I played Guild Wars, and that was kind of my first MMO ever. I was like, oh, Guild Wars is awesome. There really wasn't that much content. Level cap at the time was like 20 or something, and I didn't really understand what was going on. And so I went to my buddy when I got home for the summer. I was like, hey, man, do you know when the next Guild Wars is coming out? And he's like, oh, you know, why don't you try World of Warcraft? You won't get hooked or anything. And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, come on, just give it a shot. I was like, all right. And here I am, 12 years later. So that's how it all started. As far as the main goes right now, I mean, it's really just any tank. The kind of idea of a main when you reach a certain level of rating, you know, it's not even a super hardcore, just in general, even for hardcores, even some semi-hardcore guilds, it's just the idea of a main is kind of out the window as far as what you play competitively.
Yeah.
It's more so what you kind of like enjoy playing, you know, and even then, I mean, there's nothing I really hate playing as far as the tanking is concerned.
I feel like I, at some point, I'm going to just have to ask you to do like a quick, like, numbered ranking on the, I don't know where you feel like the tanks stand, but that's.
Please no.
Okay. How about, okay. I'm maining a Demon Hunter tank for our raid.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and kidding. I know that's not the optimal tank by any means, but it's super fun. So yeah, I don't know. I've got a warrior that I've kind of been. I don't know. I have almost all the tanks leveled. I kind of do the.
I mean, look, there's nothing in this game right now that's like, as far as tanking is concerned, that's like, wow, we have this tank. We literally can't do anything. You know what I mean? It's you can get stuff done with a Demon Hunter. Like, is like a Demon Hunter as strong as a bear? No. Can you not straight up do the content with it and stuff like that? No, that's silly too. I mean, you know, everybody's, you know, for a while has been ragging on DKs and DKs are so bad and whatever. And, you know, recently there was that, like, you know, a bunch of guilds, especially this week in EU, competed for like some top ranks in Mythic Plus stuff. And one of the higher pushing groups was like with a blood DK. So you can definitely get it done. You might just need to, you know, change some strat around things or, you know, whatever it may be. But there's nothing that's so bad that you're just like, okay, well, I'm not even going to bother raiding or doing this Mythic Plus because we have like a Demon Hunter or something, you know?
Well, one thing you said too, on your stream one night too, was that, you know, if you're not, and we've said this, I guess, on the show, but if you're not pushing high end, you know, bleeding edge progression, then you play whatever you want. It kind of doesn't matter at that point.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's people kind of lose sight of, like, this is a video game and you're supposed to have fun. You know?
Exactly.
And it's, you know, yeah, I totally agree with that. I really do. I mean, all the time you get questions. I see it in my stream, Tanks. And I see it in other people's streams from other top-ish players or top players, you know, being like, oh, you know, what do you think's the best talent choice? What do you think's the best spec? What do you think's the best, like, range DPS? And it's just, at the end of the day, it's like, come on, man. It really doesn't matter that much. You know what I mean? I haven't heard many guilds being like, oh, man, we just lost rank, like, you know, 500 or something because we used an Ellie Shaman. Just got to, you know, play what's fun. And gear acquisition is pretty easy, too, so.
Right on. What is the origin of the name Sloot?
Well, PG version. I mean, realistically, it was just kind of like a silly undergrad night in college. And I was like, Sloot bag. And I kind of just made the alt back in BC. Nice. And then it just around. I mean, honestly, there's really not much more to it. There's just a silly night with a few hundred beers. And that's it. My cop outs usually is just, it's loot bag. And everyone's like, oh, okay, I see. That's PG. And I'm like,
yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's like more so Sloot these days. Most people didn't even like understand. It's whatever. I don't really bother to explain.
All right. That's fair.
But, what would you say is your most fond memory in or because of gaming?
Ooh. That's a good one. Like within WoW?
Well, at this point, man, if you could reach back in the vault as far as you want.
I mean, you know, plenty of loving memories of, like, the first time I ever got Diablo 2 for Christmas and my buddy was over and we played it for basically 3 days straight. You know, stuff like that when you're a kid. But, I mean, WoW-wise, since I guess we want to stick to the, you know, game of choice here. I mean, there's been a bunch, man. You know, like, U.S. first Black Hand, that was an awesome experience. Worked really hard for that. And, you know, just... you know, achievements like that. I think one of them, though, in terms of reaching back in the vault, like you said, was in BC. I was, and I'm actually not entirely sure. I'd kind of have to like run through and ask Blizzard and stuff, but I was one of, if not maybe the first person in the world with double warglaves. So that like was really cool. Shit. And
oh, wow.
I was super, yeah, but you know, I was just luck back then, right? I mean, there had been a guild on our server. Like, we weren't the best guild on the server at the time, so there was a guild on the server that was, you know, had killed Illidan three weeks before us, and I ended up getting mine before their rogue did. It was just kind of RNG, but you know, back then it was awesome feeling. You have one warglaive, and every time, you know, I remember I'd be like not able to sleep Monday nights because, you know, reset comes Tuesday and we go to Black Temple, and I'm like, oh my god, the warglaive, and you know, I'd get like heavy chested and stuff when you kill Illidan. You know, that was the addictive state of the game, of course. And yeah, and I don't know, when it finally dropped, I literally just AFK'd in Shattrith, followed by Ironforge for like 48 hours straight. And everyone just was crowding around to this rogue with cursed vision of Sargeras and tier 6 and double warglaives. And it was a cool feeling. Of course, you don't actually AFK, right? I'm like sitting there at my keyboard watching people gawk at me, but I'm pretending to be AFK. And I'm like, yeah.
That's
like
awesome. In my armor.
Do you feel like Legion reclaimed any of that feeling? Because I know they've done a really good job at kind of... hitting a lot of those nostalgia notes for us. Do you maybe feel like Legion's doing that for you?
I mean, in some ways. The thing with me in this game is I've always kind of wanted more in terms of competition and progression. So it's hard for me to compare now what I do and, you know, top end rating and stuff versus then, you know. So it's kind of different styles of nostalgia almost, so to speak, throughout the expansions. So has it reclaimed some stuff? I mean, kind of. But the thing is, the Legion grind, for instance, in order to compete at like top levels right now, is a grind that never existed before. So it's right. It's kind of like introduced a lot to do in the game. But I can't say it's been like, oh yes, this is exactly what, you know, BC felt like, grinding like Ogre Law rep and all that stuff. But I mean, I guess in some ways, it's certainly in the sense that it like gives you stuff to look forward to and log on, and there's basically unlimited things you can do in the game now. That for sure, yeah, because it definitely felt that way in BC a lot to me, at least, or like some of the older, some of the, you know, first expansions where there's just kind of always something to do, or at least it felt that way. So yeah, I kind of feel that way, even if you're trying to find some things for yourself to do back in BC when there really wasn't anything, you know, like getting like full ice to play rogue back then, so playing like getting full, you know, avoidance and dodge gear, or whatever, so you can like tank Mother Shiraz and stuff like that.
Evasion tanking.
You know, that wasn't like actually a thing to do like dailies, but it was kind of like a thing to do for fun. You know,
right.
So I guess in that sense, yeah, it's kind of, you know, opened up some doors in that sense, Legion, when I have some time outside of unlimited emissary and mythic plus farming.
Gosh.
What would you say are your two favorite Blizzard titles?
Games, I mean, well, WoW for sure. It's tough to say the other because I've kind of just gone through phases with every game. I mean, StarCraft at one point. But I'd say up there would probably be like Overwatch more recently. But more historically, probably Diablo. I think Diablo's the way to go. It's just, like I said, that fond memory of Diablo 2. And, you know, Diablo 3 kind of has its issues and whatever. But I don't know. It's always near and dear to my heart. Diablo's just, I don't know, kind of grew up with it, you know, along with WoW. I did, at least.
Right.
Yeah, it's a really good franchise. So even if you don't like where it's at right now, it's still like kind of, you know, I look at it like lovingly, at least.
It's a game that I don't think even in I don't even know what season they're on right now, 8, 9, maybe more. It's a game that kind of like WoW will just never really die. You know what I mean? Like there will always, you know, I mean, look at Diablo 2. There's still people playing Diablo 2, like, you know, LOD and all that stuff. And that's crazy. People are playing Warcraft and like there's a lot of Blizzard titles that are so good and so groundbreaking that, or for their time at least, that they'll just never die. You know what I mean? Even in the future, if WoW starts to like really teeter off, there's still going to be a kind of subscriber player floor that will always play World of Warcraft, no matter what. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I believe that.
And I think Diablo's kind of got that essence to it too. You know, maybe it's in a bit of a lull right now. I think there was some disappointment at BlizzCon with kind of lack of Diablo 3 announcements. You know, Necromancer is cool, but Necromancer and the exact same thing you've been doing for the past 3 years or whatever is not so cool. But you know, despite that, I think people are still going to kind of be coming back to the title. And I mean, even for next BlizzCon, I'm now already excited. I'm like, well, they didn't do anything this BlizzCon. There's got to be something next. Another expansion, Diablo 4, something, right?
Right, right.
Oh, we said that last year, too.
True. Just keep saying it'll happen.
It'll happen. What would you say is your favorite raid boss of all time?
Oh, man, I get this one a lot. I don't know. there's a lot of bosses that have a lot of nostalgia and are close to my heart in BC because that's just my favorite expansion. But that doesn't mean they're obviously like the best mechanical boss that's ever been made. So things like, you know, Illidan, pretty much all of Sunwell, Essence of Souls for some reason, don't ask why. You know, bosses like that are like really iconic to me from back in the day. You know, KT and Lady Vash, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, more mechanically challenging, at least as they kind of grew through the expansions, because some boss, you know, mechanics just generally became harder and harder all the time. You know, Black Fuse, I think, was like a really good boss. It was crazy.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Pretty, just kind of like some new mixed with some old. It was just really unique for its time, I think. So Black Fuse was really cool. I think Lei Shen was probably one of like the most iconic, awesome, well put together, well tuned bosses. You know, that had a bit of RNG element, but it was pretty straightforward, but it was just really tough, tuned really well, and presented challenges that like you really had to kind of think outside the box to do and use every kind of advantage you had. So I mean, yeah, you know, those are some bosses that stand out. I also personally really like Black Hand. I thought Black Hand was a great boss. It just had a lot of it was just, you don't really get a lot of bosses these days that are, I mean, you do, but not that many that are, you know, right off the bat, it's like huge pressure on the raid. Like Black Hand, like the moment you pulled Black Hand, it was like do or die right away. There was no lulling. Uh-huh. There was no down period. Like that lava started caving in from the side of the rooms. You know, stuff started falling from the top. Like you got to soak properly. He's crushing the tanks. I mean, he's like 2-3-shotting tanks. It's just, it was crazy. I really liked that fight. I thought it was great. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I could talk about all the bosses a lot, but, you know, there's some misses and some, you know, a lot of bosses are like, oh, that's cool, or like have a bit of nostalgia. But, you know, some really just super successful bosses. I think like Lei Shen is definitely one of them, in my opinion. I think Black Hand was quite good, too.
I think there's some raids out there that people don't think of, like, don't really think of that highly, like Dragon Soul. But I I don't know. Like, I guess it depends on where you were at with your team.
That's exactly it.
We were kind of at a really good stride at that time. So when I think about Dragon Soul, I remember how fun it was, even though, you know, like some of them were very Fisher Price, my first raid boss kind of fights. And then some of them were just like, just ridiculous, you know. I don't know. It just,
yeah.
It's always neat to hear different perspectives.
I hear what you're saying. I agree. I think, you know, like, but you're saying something that's kind of subjective and has a bit of nostalgia for you and stuff. But I just mean, you know, I kind of drifted into like, mechanically speaking, the amount of effort that seemed to be put into the bosses, aesthetically too, etc. I mean, just the fact in the first place that most of Dragon Soul was pretty much just a revamped, you know, Wyrmrest Temple and stuff. That I think disappointing, you know. I'd much rather have like, I'd much rather have a brand new raid, you know, visually at least, than, you know, a rehash. So I think that's what was a bit disappointing in the first place and kind of made it a bit stale already for some players. But it definitely had some good fights. Mm-hmm. I already forget, what was the second boss to the right? Yogg something, Ishar, something like that. The Skittles one. The one with, that one was actually pre-nerf. That was a pretty tough boss, pre-nerf. And then they nerfed it quite quickly into the dungeon. I don't know why, but like it had some decent encounters, minus madness. But that's some good stuff. But I don't know. Like when I think of a raid, I also think of, I don't know. You need some visually appealing stuff, you know. I don't know if you guys watched Ghoul Dan today. Like that was pretty nutty. That fight for some of the guys who streamed it. So like that stuff's pretty cool.
Oh no, I didn't catch that. I'm really looking forward to that.
They decided to cave and test Ghoul Dan publicly. So.
All right, huh?
Shoot, man.
Pretty interesting.
What would you say is your favorite thing about Legion so far?
I think I have a bit of a unique and maybe in some areas unpopular idea on this, just because I stream for a living. So I basically do play WoW for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I play games for a living. It just happens that WoW is my game and I love it. So to me, honestly, I like this kind of unlimited, just kind of like a bigger perspective. I like this kind of unlimited, you can always log on and do something, artifact power farm for legendaries. I like that idea. I like the extreme reward based on the amount of work you have to put into like maintaining alts. You know what I mean? So the reason I say it's unpopular is because obviously you hear a lot of people going like, oh, this is such a grueling expansion. There's so much to grind. How are you supposed to keep up alts? And that's fine. I totally hear people on that. You know, I mean, this not everyone does what I do with like their livelihood or whatever. So I don't know. It's just kind of the idea of always being able to better your character or account per se, is something that, I don't know, is pretty appealing to me, just because I do have that kind of time to dedicate to the game.
Right on. That makes sense.
And Mythic Plus, I guess that kind of is a sub area of, you know, what I'm talking about though, because Mythic Plus is an unlimited farming tool essentially. But I think it's quite successful. That feature.
Right on. Now, we've got some bonus questions here. I'm hoping Rob has more than I do, but he always does. But it seemed silly to have you on here to just talk about Mythic Plus when you're big into the competitive rating with World of Warcraft. You guys was it world third for Nightmare, and I think you guys were second for Trial of Valor. Is that correct?
You got it. Yep.
All right. And that's amazing. Like, that really is amazing. Like, I can't even comprehend.
Seriously.
I can't even comprehend that. Like, we hit 6 of 7 heroic in Emerald Nightmare this week, and that's a big accomplishment for us. So
right.
So
awesome.
To be where you're at is it's mind blowing to me. So it's like, what kind of prep goes into doing something like that?
Well, you have to cut a few things out of your schedule, like sleeping and eating.
Like life, okay.
Well, the thing is, like, World First rating is never been something that's been officially like supported by Blizzard. You know what I mean?
Right.
They love it themselves. I know they do. I've talked to a bunch of them. It's awesome. They love watching it internally and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of like, you know, a PvP arena at BlizzCon, you know, stuff like that, you know, where lots of money goes into it, it's just not a thing. And probably never will be for a few reasons, not hostile reasons, just realistic reasons in terms of viewership of such an event, you know, but, you know, so because of that, you know, a lot of the extremes of pushing World First rating have always been like user developed, like fan base developed. It's never been Blizzard being like, this is the standard. This is what you have to do. So as a result, World First Raiding has gotten just more and more and more hardcore every expansion, and more ridiculous things happen. And, you know, first it started with like one main team, and then, you know, let's throw like a main alt in there. And then before you know it, it's like five alts, and you're doing five heroic clears to farm for Mythic Week, and, you know, all this stuff. And the thing with Legion is, Legion, it wasn't just like, before it was players doing that, right? I mean, there's no difference between MOP and Warlords in terms of a 1 week lockout raid. You know, players just decided, hey man, let's do five alts instead of three or four, you know, whatever it may be. You know, let's get that extra loot. The thing is now Blizzard's kind of introduced, not for this, but inadvertently introduced a lot of tools this expansion that players in this status can now kind of use even more. Like for more ridiculous stuff. So not only do you have like five, six alts now, but before you were kind of limited by the best loot in the game by a 1 week lockout and raid, right? But now you're not limited by anything, right? Because you can just wear Mythic Plus literally all day. You know, you can go do your emissaries. Yeah, there's like a super low chance that 840 bracer is going to turn into like an 895, but you can do it. You might get it. You can go farm AP unlimited. Just go chain queue heroic dungeons, even if you don't have some buddies online you can play with. So in terms of preparation, I mean, it's just gone to an unlimited extreme because there was the old and now there's the new on top of the old. So the kind of preparation that goes in, I mean, you know, just, I mean, endless gaming, man. Like, I don't know how to say it. It's just, you know, it's like 5 to 6 tunes. And of these 5 to 6 tunes, you have to have a certain eye level. You have to have a certain artifact trait. You have to have, you know, possibly some off specs on some tunes, etc. So there's a lot that go, and then you have to kind of try and farm for one or two legendaries as best you can. So the preparation is obscene. And then, you know, on top of it, you got to have strat and practice and test on PTR, much like you always have, and all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot of work. It really is. It feels rewarding when there's a nice hard boss put out there and you kill it, but it feels really, really like crappy when there isn't. Like Emerald Nightmare was a huge letdown for a lot of people.
Yeah, less than a day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Exorcist did it in like 18 hours or something. So I mean, when you spend like, you know, that was about the 1 month mark into the expansion almost, and when you spend a month just absolutely neck bearding this game like so hard. Like, you know, people had 5, 6 tunes ready. Everybody was like, just insane amounts of farming. And for all that preparation to be done in, you know, less than 24 hours was really, really, really crappy feeling. So it kind of put everyone a bit on tilt and being like, is this how Blizzard wants raiding to be now? Like, you know, and if that is how they wanted it to be, then I think a lot of people would quit. Maybe even myself, because the top end raiding scene, that is, because it just doesn't, it's not worth, right? It's not worth spending so much time in this game for when you're already not getting like money or anything out of it or game time or what have you, to kind of just for it to be done in 24 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, Blizzard was like, look, man, that's not our intent. All right. It was a misstep. Our bad. You know, they kind of also pigeonhole themselves with tuning. It's tough with legendaries and all this Titanforge going on. Mm-hmm. And then Hellia came out and it kind of, at least for me, like very much reassured that they could definitely still put a really tough boss together, regardless of all this RNG craziness. I don't know, man. So like it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work because, and it's only kind of upped, like the ante's only upped by what another guild in your competition range is doing, you know, like prior to TOV, you know, there weren't really many people with 35 traits, right? There were some people that were grinding Mythic Plus really hard every day, but really weren't many in like some of the top guilds. And then nobody like really knew, like every guild was kind of like, do we go for 35? Like, are the other guilds doing it? And then, and then the guilds are like, well, what's the other guild doing? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, what are we doing? And you know, and then it just kind of like started going around. It's like, oh, more people are getting 35. And it's like, all right, that's it. We got to get 35 too. And then that means like 250, you know, Moth Souls in like a week. So, I mean, it gets pretty crazy. It gets nuts. I think as the expansion kind of goes on a bit, you kind of know the preparation needed. And you'll never plateau in this expansion because, like I said, there's always things to do. You can always be farming artifact power, going for that, you know, Titanforge proc. But I think it'll start to kind of not plateau fully, but, you know, start to kind of level out just a bit in terms of the extremes of what you need to do, just because artifact power is faster. You have more time until the next raid. Now people know what's up. You're starting to acquire your legendaries. You're starting to get your 34 35, you know, up to 54 traits, etc. So, I mean, it's kind of start to slow down a bit and be a bit less crazy, but yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about what goes into choosing a tank and how you, I mean, so you grind, so you level up all the tank classes and you kind of gear them all out through, I'm guessing through like Mythic Plus dungeons and a little bit of raiding, but how do you choose the right one for the fight at that progression level?
It's a combination of things. A lot of it is, I mean, at the very basics, it's like you open up the dungeon journal and you look at, you know, tank abilities, right? What does this boss do? What kind of tank swaps are there? What kind of special mechanics are there? And then you kind of start to match, you know, aside from just regular melees of the boss, you just kind of expect that all the tanks can kind of deal with that. But of course, not all tanks deal with it the same, you know, something like a bear will not deal with it the same as like an undergeared Death Knight, you know? Mm-hmm. So you kind of assess it, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, this guy every minute hits really, really hard with magic damage. Okay, that's the only dangerous thing. Well, I'm gonna bring a DK then, right? Oh, but this guy's actually like really, really heavy, quick, sustained melee attacks. Okay, well, warriors are quite good for that with block. Bears are good for that, you know. So you kind of try to mix and match what, you know, some of the strength and damage intake models are for the tanks based on what the bosses do. But then, you know, the higher the level you get, you start to consider things outside of just like which tank matches which boss. And, you know, you start to consider things like, well, what in this tank's kit can help cheese this boss? What in this tank's kit can help, like, you know, ease some of the difficulty of like the raid mechanics, not just the tank mechanics. So you start to mix and match that too. So something like, you know, like a paladin on Helia, you know, having blessing of spell warding and bubble, you know, it helps a lot with some of the breaths. I can also spell warding some people in phase one so they can soak some of the tentacles, right? Because if nobody soaks, then the raid gets nuked, and one soak by yourself without split damage is like 8 million nature damage or something. So, you know, you start to mix and match, like, oh, you know, oh, there's a part in the fight where we got to move quickly. Oh, well, let's get an extra, you know, savage roaring from a bear, or stampeding roar rather from a bear. So it goes like beyond, like you assess the tank stuff, then you assess like the raid stuff, and then you actually kind of see the boss in action, you know, eventually on like PTR testing, you know, you see the kind of melee swings that happen, you see the kind of like abilities that exist, and then you start to put things together in your head, like, well, you know, like what's going on like Mythic Odin Spear. Okay, well, it's like a hit for like 25 million or something, and it's reduced by most tanks' active mitigation. But, oh, let's take a look at monks. Well, they can actually mitigate 90% of it, right? So why not use a tank that can double soak spears? Then the boss moves less. There's less CDs need to go on both tanks. It's safe, you know, whatever it may be. So so just like you start to match up a lot of these things based on kind of theory crafting in a way. I don't know, maybe that's the best word for it, but kind of, you know, putting a hypothesis together for what tanks would suit these fights well, and then kind of putting it to the test and seeing exactly how the bosses function, and then taking a look at things and seeing how you can make things easier, right? So Gwarm was another example. Ultimately, probably every tank at this point can solo tank it, but Bear just had by far the easiest time, right? So on something like progression, we're like, well, let's just use a Bear and get an extra DPS in for this DPS check, right? It just makes sense. All of a sudden the DPS check is way easier, and the bear can survive no problem. So it's just a lot of these things. And then, you know, more goes into it too, but you start to get into like really intricate things like, can the tanks help each other? You know, like a paladin off healing a bear when they're tanking. Paladin is great support. You know, how can they help the raid? Like I said earlier, what kind of raid support do they have? And how can they, like I said, ease or maybe even break some mechanics, right? You know, a lot of split damage mechanics you can maybe take with like a cheat death or an immunity or like a massive DR CD or something like that. So a lot goes into it. But yeah, I mean, you always kind of get a bit screwed by some kind of fixing or hot fixing happening, honestly, during fights or during encounters. Like I got a little flack for like, why would Sloop Bag choose like a paladin for Emerald Nightmare? I mean, like the whole plan, you know, and we talked amongst ourselves, was that paladins at the time could bubble Xavius' stacks off and give like huge support in other areas. And we had like strats planned around it. And then it turns out Xavius was a joke. And not even that, but they actually nerfed it in Mythic Week of Emerald Nightmare that you couldn't bubble stacks off anymore. So we're kind of like, well, couldn't you do this like before? You know, you like plan
yeah, entire not during yeah. progression.
And then on Helya, ironically, kind of a similar thing happened. It wasn't as effect like as much of an issue because it wasn't like we didn't base an entire strat around this. But initially on Helya, a paladin could actually bubble or spell wording immune. Like her breath in phase three applies a kind of MS effect to the tank, 90% healing. So not only could you immune the breath hit itself, which is like, you know, like 4 million or something, but you'd actually immune that application of the healing debuff. So then you can go around soaking whatever you need to soak and helping out with the raid more. Well, throughout actual progression in Mythic Week, they made it so you couldn't immune that debuff application off anymore, you know? So it's just a bit irritating that you have to like find these things out through actual practice. Be like, oh, well, that would have been nice to know. Maybe I would have used a different tank. You know?
Yeah.
Do you find yourself like switching? Like if you're.
I played a different tank for every boss in TOV. So.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, unlike Ilganoth, we did like. I did Paladin because it had good support, and then I rotated to a Blood DK for AoE grip and slows. And like, yeah, you definitely try things. And I think, honestly, oddly enough, one of the perks of the way the system is now and how easily you can gear some tunes is that. If you pay enough attention and give enough love to your alts, these are actually raid-ready tunes. Like, if you know how to play them, you can bring them in a raid and play them and do well with them. Whereas before, like I said, by far, most of your top-end gear came from raiding. So eventually, you kind of had to sit down and choose, you know? Be like, well, great, I have six tanks, but really only two of them. If even, usually one of them is geared enough to do, like, Mythic Zul Harak or something. But now it's like, hey, man, they're all geared enough. I'll just, what's best for this fight? You know, I'm going to bring this in. Why not?
When you say it's easy to gear, are you talking about Mythic Plus dungeons or emissary stuff? Or?
Well, yeah, Mythic Plus emissary. I mean, there's an unlimited gear farming potential right now. Mm-hmm. Nighthold is going to be the first time that we finally start to see like there's two things exclusive to raid, whereas before it used to be three things. One, the third thing being it has the highest high level gear. Period. That's not a thing anymore, and that's a pretty big thing to not
that's
be
a, huge
a thing anymore.
Yeah.
But there's still two things exclusive to raiding, and one of them we haven't seen yet, which is bonuses, set bonuses. So Nighthold's going to be that, you know, and that's kind of important. So like me bringing like Monk for Odin and Guardian for Gwarm and Prop Paladin for Helya, you know, that was cool and dandy because they all had relatively the same gear, but I wasn't losing anything by bringing it to them. But for Nighthold, it's going to be a bit tougher to do that, right? Because I can't give six sets or four out of six set pieces to six tanks, right? At some point, I'm going to have to, you know, when DPS as well, like everyone's going to have to make a decision that, all right, like what are we going to be using, especially for the tougher bosses? Like that's where you start to focus a lot. Like I talked about the Prop Paladin Xavius thing. Naturally, you'd expect that the last boss of the instance is the hardest. So most of your, or not most, but a lot of your planning and prediction and stuff and what classes should we use and stuff like that is usually a lot of the time tailored towards that boss or those last few hard bosses. So that being said, you have to make kind of a, you know, like commitment eventually about what tank you're going to use. So TOV being like, well, all my tanks are 880 and let's just play whatever versus Nighthold be like, all my tanks are 890, so let's play whatever. But now it's also like, oh, wait, but this guy also has four piece and this guy has two piece, but this guy doesn't have anything, you know?
Right.
Again, though, I mean, you can still go in normal mode. You can still go in heroic mode the week before Mythic, and you can still go in LFR or whatever wings may open before that and, you know, farm and hope that you proc and get something.
Yeah, they're putting tier back into, or like regular tier, not the ghetto tier. They're putting that back into LFR again.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, so that's the second thing. And the third thing is trinkets, right? There's like, you can't access raid trinkets in Mythic Plus. Granted that there weren't too many satisfying or like super OP or super lovey or like OP, well, or really OP trinkets in Emerald Nightmare. I mean, there were a few that people
might must have.
Yeah, but there weren't any like, oh my god, like this is best in slot for every caster ever kind of thing. So that being said, you know, these first two instances were a bit like, you know, you can really just get away with running Mythic Plus and doing emissaries, like you said, even some crafted gear, throw that in there. And then you can, honestly, you can chain farm heroic and those 825 pieces can proc 895. You never know, right? The chance is extremely low, of course, but that's just the way it is. But like I said, Nighthold will be a bit more strict just by virtue of like set bonuses for you being able to swap in and out. But yeah, I mean, look, even set like and it's not just tanks. I mean, you guys are asking me about tanks because that's what I do, and that's fair, you know, but it's for everything, right? I mean, if you come across a fight where it's like, wow, man, like, I don't know, elemental shaman are like super duper good on this fight, you know, like everyone's going to be switching to maybe an elemental shaman alt, even if it doesn't have like some two piece or something. Maybe it's just so strong and they've kept up to date with those alts that are like 885 mm-hmm. that they're just so good for that fight, they just bring them in like ringers, you know.
Well, the whole gear thing now too, where like you know, the secondary stats may not be on par, but like you don't have to necessarily farm complete full sets of gear for alts or prof specs. Well, it sounds like we're leading this into Mythic Plus discussion. Daryl, did you have anything else you want to?
No. I think I agree with that. So why isn't it working? Oh my goodness!
This is Word Up from the Maelstrom, and you're listening to the Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
What was that?
Well, if you guys have any. If you have any questions or comments or want to find out how we're doing, you can hit us up on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Quiblin. Daryl is at Hind_TTD. And surprise, we're talking to Sloot about Mythic Plus Dungeons. So I actually have been very apprehensive about them. I think the highest that I've tanked is a 7, maybe. A 6 or 7. And it got pretty intense, and I think I didn't really have the gear for it, and so it kind of put me off a little bit, and I haven't really gone back in a whole lot. So let's take the lid off of this. Let's talk about Mythic Plus and why it's actually you seem to be giving it some pretty high praises. So what's your favorite thing about the Mythic Plus system right now?
I think for me it's just the like unlimited repeatability and difficulty of it. I think is pretty appealing, and that requires far less organization, at least, you know, putting a team together. Obviously there's a lot of strat and things that are involved in it, compared to, you know, something like raiding. It's easier to pick up 4 buddies or find a pug or 2 rather than fill an entire raid for like anything from heroic all the way to mythic, you know?
Right.
So I think that's what's, they're just much more, what's the word I'm looking for? Not approachable, but they're a lot more kind of just welcoming than raids. I'm not finding the word I want here, but that's the kind of path I'm trying to go down. They're a lot accessible. There we go. They're a lot more accessible than raids. And you can kind of always keep challenging yourself, and it's satisfying that you always get a reward from it, unless you're, you know, screwing up a depleted key or whatever. So it's just always something you can be doing in the game, in a team rather than just going out and like mini pet battling and whatnot, which I love. But yeah, I think that's what's
that your guilty pleasure.
It is, man. But that's what it is. It's just very accessible. And it's always a challenge, like no matter what, even if you're like, this is so easy, then just keep going higher until it's not easy anymore.
So we had Lerald on to talk about Blood Decays a couple weeks ago, and he actually spoke pretty highly of Blood Decays where they're at now, and especially in 7.1.5 with 5-man content. Do you feel like there's a difference with Mythic Plus dungeons maybe as opposed to, you know, a larger organized Mythic raid, that you can, the flexibility as to what classes and specs you can bring is a little more open?
I think so. I mean, just like spitballing some examples off the top of my head, I would say things like Vengeance Demon Hunters relative in raid, at least that we've seen so far, the kind of encounters are much weaker relatively compared to some other tanks in a raid than they are in Mythic Plus. Because a lot of the perks, for instance, that they have in Mythic Plus, like, you know, AoE Fear, AoE Silence, AoE Grip, you know, all that kind of, you know, nice burst AoE damage, mm-hmm. Those are usually just not important or not applicable in raids, right? Like, you're on Ursoc. Ursoc's like, I don't care that you have an AoE silence, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas an AoE silence in, like, Arc Way or HOV is huge. Like, a 6 to 8 second AoE silence. That's huge. Huge, huge, huge. So, yeah, of course, these two just don't translate fully. You know, I don't play an Ellie Shaman yet. I'm actually making an alt randomly. Don't ask. But, you know, Ellie Shaman are another class that gets a lot of flack in raid. Like, a lot. Because their single target damage is maybe not that great, right? but take their AoE damage and, you know, their earthquake or whatever, you know, like constantly stunning things, helping with damage on the tank, helping with damage on the group, and just doing some pretty decent AoE damage. Honestly, I've seen some pretty good Ellies do some like pretty solid stuff. Mm-hmm. That's another example of a class that is, you know, maybe a bit misunderstood as far as the translation between the two goes. So yeah, I definitely don't think you can fully translate every single class in spec based on their perceived strengths and rating down into Mythic Plus. It's kind of two different worlds a lot of the time.
When you're saying Ellie Shaman too, like the, I mean, like you mentioned their AoE, their cleave is really good. I guess something like a ranged interrupt or the stun totem. These are like the utility matters way more in the 5-man environment, would you say?
Absolutely. Yeah, different kinds of utility, right? Yeah, sure. I agree with you. Different kinds of utility. You know, something like, again, just returning to Bear, something like a Stampeding Roar is usually a lot more useful in raids, moving 20 people across, you know, quickly somewhere where there's less raid damage or get out of the fire, whatever it may be. You know, a lot of the time I'd say it's more useful in raids than you'll find in Mythic Plus, like having that little speed mm-hmm. for a 5-man group. Not that you can't find uses for it, right? But I would say usually it's more groundbreaking in a raid than a Mythic 5-man. So different kinds of utility for sure. I totally agree with that. But yeah, you know, there's some things, I mean, it is PvE at the end of the day, but some things mm-hmm. are translatable and some things are not. Yeah, I totally agree.
So in our guild chat, we've been discussing Mythic Plus. Like there's a few in there that are really into the Mythic Plus dungeons and do it fairly often. So I've picked up a few keywords, and when I was first doing up the notes for this, I was just kind of throwing everything in here, and I understand a bit more than even I did then, but affixes or whatever, however you want to pronounce that, what are those exactly?
So it's funny that we talked about Diablo earlier. So the Mythic Plus system, you guys have played Diablo 3, right?
Yeah. I got a shaman to level 12 when it was first released, and I haven't touched it since. And the only got the game was because I bought the annual pass, so I got for free.
Ah, right. Good. Right. MOP, right? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I've capped a tune every season, I think.
I see. Okay. So then you'll know that. So the Mythic Plus system was very largely influenced by their Greater Rift system. And in Diablo 3, the Greater Rift system is, again, very similar, unlimited scaling dungeons that just go higher and higher and higher to the point that you just can't complete them. And in those systems, there's also, they kind of have like boss affixes or mini boss affixes that have different, you know, packs or elites or whatever will have different abilities. So the kind of WoW translation of this is affixes that, again, present different abilities or dungeon, like, you know, difficulties or curveballs or however you want to put them for the group, for the week, for the entire region. So, you know, one is like bolstering, right? Bolstering means that every time you kill a trash mob, anything else within like 50 or 60 yards of it that's in combat will get 20% health and damage. So, you know, you got to kind of be smart how you DPS things. You want things to die as evenly as possible. If you kind of ignore one thing and kill something else, then, you know, a relative 20% health gain on something that's 100% health versus 2% health is going to be much larger. So it kind of changes the way you play dungeons, and affixes force you to kind of either change some comps, change some talents, change some strategies. Depending on how bad they are, they force you to take vacation for the week from Mythic Plus. nice. Yeah. But so that's what affixes are. They kind of add these modifiers to dungeons that make you kind of rethink your approach to the dungeon and how you're going to. Some of them are more exciting than others. Some of them aren't too fun for some people. And some of them are just like straight up not mechanical challenges. Rather, they're just numerical buffs to mobs to make the entire dungeon just harder, you know?
Okay, so the last time...
Are there any that... No, go ahead.
I was going to say, the last time I did a Mythic Plus was probably a month and a half ago. It didn't go well. It was only a Mythic Plus 4. I had a good bourbon buff going on. It was after raid.
Of course.
And one of the people, I think she kept saying bolstering. But anyway, we got wrecked. And I didn't know what bolstering meant until like 30 seconds ago when you just told me. So... So I understand now why we were getting wrecked so bad. We never did finish it.
Exactly.
Like it was, I don't know, it was still like 1 o'clock in the morning and yeah, after the bourbon buff and anyway. So anyway, thank you. That helps a lot, actually. Now I know what we were doing wrong there.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these are restrictive and change your game enough to mm-hmm. the point that you can't just do what you're usually used to just right. pull all the trash to the boss and AoE it down. Like, there are some that just hard prevent you from doing things like that. Bolstering can be one of them. Again, you can kind of kill everything at the same time, but there are some things that just you can't, you know what I mean? It really restricts you in some ways, usually.
So are there any in particular that you go when you see that this is what we've got this week, you say, all right, I guess I'm not doing any more than a +8 or a +10, or are you just like, let's just do it. I don't care how hard it is.
Well, the thing for me personally is, I mean, okay, so we usually, and again, part of the preparation that we talked about earlier, there's a certain level of Mythic Plus that you want to clear for the week on a tune, even if it's not within time, that will give you the largest possible base eye level item from your cache for the week. You know, that kind of like weekly cache you get in your
right.
Class all. Yeah. That used to be rank 10. Now it's a rank 12. That stuff like 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like that. So that being said, I still get that done on all my tunes every week. There's definitely some affix combos that are way easier than others. This week's being arguably one of the easiest, either the or the second easiest, depending on who you're asking. And that's kind of the times that people, you know, use these to kind of push higher. And like, we had the world first Mythic 21 this week and at Mythic 20 as well. You know, people push high ranks. For me, I mean, there's, yeah, like this week we did like some 14s and 15s, so it was a bit higher. I haven't had time, but now I have time. But it's tough to find a group to like compete at really top stuff, because it's kind of like a mini raid group. You know, you need a really coordinated group with really good players, etc. So when I look at the affixes, there's certainly like, oh yeah, I would definitely consider, you know, this would be a great week to like push some higher ones and have some fun. Totally. But usually it's kind of just like a checklist thing for a lot of people. And these top guilds, it's kind of like, I got to get my 12s done for the week. You know, I need to get that best possible piece of loot in the next week's dungeon. And then I'd say based on the affixes, there's more leniency and more willingness to maybe do some extra dungeons for fun or farm for the week, or, you know, use some viewer keys if you're a streamer, or look for pug groups or whatever, depending on the affixes. Absolutely. But there's set affixes every week. Like, it's not as random as you think. There's a cycle of like, I don't know, 10 to 12, something like that. You know, plus or minus in that area, of set 3 affixes that rotate every week. So you already know the week that's coming up next, kind of thing. And you can kind of choose to, you know, book your flight or not.
They mentioned at BlizzCon too that there was going to be some new ones coming out, right?
There is one new one that I know of coming out. I don't know if there's more planned internally. It is the one we previewed at BlizzCon. It's called, what was it called? I forget now. Bursting.
I can't remember.
I think it was Bursting, which basically is, every ad in the dungeon becomes similar to like an Ilganoth mythic ad, aka when it dies, it puts like a dot on you for 20% of your HP or some percent of your HP. So again, another thing, you can't just round up the entire dungeon and kill everything at the same time, because it'll kill you when it dies. I also heard that overflowing might be getting a revisit, might be changing into a different ability altogether. But you know, nothing confirmed officially, so I guess we'll have to see for the rest of them. But as far as I know, it's just the that bursting one. At least that's the one we were told. So who knows if they have more up their sleeve? I'm sure they do. I'm sure they're throwing ideas into a hat, and they're like, ha, ha, ha. They'll hate this one.
Yeah, the stroking their evil beard and.
So these.
Go ahead, man.
Sorry, these affixes, they're at certain levels. Is that right? Like, and what Mythic Plus levels do they appear at?
Yeah, that's right. So. Mythic plus 4 will always give you your first affix. Mythic plus 7 will always give you your second affix. And Mythic plus 10 will always give you the third affix.
Okay.
And the third affix is always a numerical modifier. It's either called fortified or tyrannical, aka either the trash is a lot harder or the bosses are a lot harder. So there's no mechanical difficulty increase at rank 10s. It's just a huge kind of leap up in throughput needed from the group.
Okay.
So when you're doing these, do you treat them like kind of like raid content? Do you flask and food for every pull?
You flask for them, yeah. I mean, if you're doing carries or low ones, you want to, you know, if the name of the game is farming, then you want to move through it as efficiently as possible. And more stats equals killing and stuff faster and healing better and tanking better and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, usually I can't say. I definitely don't pod every trash pack and everything. I know a lot of the guys that went really, really ham with it this past week. I mean, you know, watching them, like, you know, you have to be, and they were, you know, podding. They basically had, like, prolonged power running the entire dungeon kind of thing. You know, use their old war on Deadly Grace here and there for, you know, more spike, single target, and all that kind of stuff. But mostly, I mean, if you're really throwing yourself at it, you're really trying to be competitive, then, yeah, a lot of people go full ham with consumables. 375 food, flasks, you know, augment runes, pots on every trash pack as much as they can, et cetera, et cetera. But usually, I mean, when we do it, if it's, you know, like I said, key carries rank 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever, or if we're just kind of doing our 12s for the week, usually people flask because, I mean, they're not that expensive. Well, that's a lie. But but they are, you know, it helps, right? I mean, especially when you're, you know, it's great when you're doing with mains, right? You throw in a bunch of people's mains that have the higher eye level. They're more comfortable playing that particular class or spec. And then it's like, yeah, you know, you don't have to flask, but it helps. You know, things die a bit faster. You just save some time. But when you start to mix in, like, oh, you know, I got to do my, like, sixth tune for the week that's, like, 830 eye level, and I don't really know how to play it very well, but we got to gear it for split clears. You know, that's when it starts to get a bit hazy, and you need to kind of get all the help you can. But, yeah, so usually we do, yeah. But I'd say the more increasing, like, if you're competing for top ranks, like, they go really crazy with consumables.
So what are some strategies to help successfully complete the dungeons in the time limit?
I mean, I think every group kind of has their own strats, obviously. And some of that is kind of dictated by maybe the kind of comp you have in your group, right? If you're running a very, very heavy, like, AoE spec group that can just melt packs, and depending on the affix, which is another factor for the week, you know, you could just kind of pull a lot of stuff, AoE it down, maybe go a bit slower with the bosses, right? Whereas maybe you have a lot of single targets, so you need to pull the trash slower, but the bosses will melt. You know, it kind of affects maybe when you want to lust sometimes and when you don't want to lust, or heroism. But so there's a lot of just factors that kind of, you know, it depends on XYZ. But just, I think some just generic advice for people that are just, you know, maybe newer to this or don't do it very often is really just kind of knowing the clear paths. And I'm sure there's some kind of strat videos out there from, like, either the Fat Boss guys or whatever. You know, knowing the clear paths, knowing which trash packs to stay away from, which ones are easier to do, how much trash you really need to kill, because you have to kill a certain percentage of trash, whereas some dungeons have, like, way more trash than needed, so it kind of builds a path for you. And outside of that, it's just kind of experience, or, again, checking out some videos, just knowing what things do. You know, if you go to a dungeon for the first time and you don't know that, well, if this mob completes its cast, it, like, AoEs the entire raid for 50% of their health, then you're not going to know it until it either happens to you or you've learned about it somewhere. So some of it just comes with experience or kind of, like, studying the situation. And then, as a result, kind of just going in there and being like, oh, there's that pack they talked about, you know, let's not pull this one instead. But if you're kind of in there for the first time, you don't really know where to go, you don't really know what to kill, then it's going to take you a lot longer. So just kind of knowing the path, knowing what you need to kill, and knowing at least, like, the basic mechanics of both the trash, which is super important, and the bosses in there, you know, you should be in pretty good shape. And after that, it's just kind of practice and playing with the right people and, you know, gear and kind of getting experience in.
So it's really, like, the same rules apply as raiding or anything, is to just kind of do your homework and know the dungeons, know the pathways, know the, you know, which, what you're getting into.
Yeah. It's like anything else with WoW, right? I mean, it's just, a lot of it comes to experience and just pulling it, right? I mean, even the world first guys for Mythic Plus, the world first guys for Mythic Raiding, a lot of the top guys, I mean, when you go into it, yeah, like, somebody has to do it, right? It's not like people right now that are maybe have some less experience in Mythic Plus are going in for the first time and nobody else in the world has, right? It's not like the first people to step foot into a Mythic Plus were like, haha, we know exactly what to do in here, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's got to kind of find their own path and get the experience at some point. Some people just do it a bit faster than others for whatever reason, you know? But now that there's resources out there, it's definitely, it can save you a lot of time and maybe frustration and a headache to kind of just spend a bit of time being like, oh, okay, look, our mythic, like, six or whatever right now, it's a challenge for us, is like Halls of Valor. Let's go take a look at one of the guides real quick and see what's up. Or maybe go watch a stream or, you know, ask somebody that we know or whatever it may be.
So I was watching a stream the other day, and somebody was doing a Mythic 15 of Arkway, and right at the very beginning, they kept pulling the blobs and then running back out and then running in, and then like three or four different times.
Was it us? Because we did one yesterday.
It may have been. I tried to think if it was you or maybe Rignaros. But is there like some tricks to some of these things? Is there something like where you go and you know, like, hey, zone out, zone back in, this doesn't respond or this happens? Is there like a bunch?
Yeah,
is there
yeah, like absolutely. Weird?
Like, how many of the dungeons have these little kind of cheese mechanics to them?
Oh, geez. I mean, a lot of them. you know, some of them are tricks. Some of them are, like, clever things. Others are just kind of like cheeses, but they work. Like, what you're saying is basically a cheese. but it's not, you know, it's not like a hack or an exploit. It's just the way the game works.
You
can take advantage of it. I mean, you do... You know, like what you're talking about specifically is if you, those blobs at the beginning, if you kill the purple ones, they split into four, and then each one of those splits into four, and then each one of those splits into four. So what happens is if you kill the initial form and then either wipe or zone out, then they despawn and they don't respawn. So like their little babies that they spawn just disappear. Uh-huh. They don't sit there anymore. So, you know, the disadvantage or the advantage is you don't have to deal with them because it could be a pain in the butt again, depending on the affix, right? Or the difficulty of the dungeon. But the negative is that, well, you die, and every time you die, you take a 5-second hit, or you zone out of the dungeon, which also you spend some time doing, zoning out, loading out, zoning back in, loading back in. And I honestly, to this day, don't really know if it's still a bug or not, because it's been so long that they haven't fixed this. But when you zone out of a Mythic Plus dungeon and when you zone back in, you actually lose the bonuses from your gems. So you're actually then they might have, I hope they fixed it, I don't know, but I know at least in Arkway for sure you do. So, you know, when people do that, they're like, all right, where'd 3% haste go? Oh, right, my gems don't work for the rest of the 45 minute dungeon now, you know. So there is kind of a trade-off, whether it be time for the dungeon or whatever, in doing this. But, you know, the gain is usually much greater than giving it. But yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of dungeons have them, I'd say. I can't think of all of them off the top of my head right now, but there's definitely, I would say there's tricks to most, if not all, dungeons that can either save you some time or save you some hair.
So like you were saying, too late, but. So like you were saying, maybe if you're planning on, you know, you got a key for Halls of Valor, go watch a guide or you know, watch one of Sloot Bag's videos on Halls of Valor.
I don't have those, but yes. but yeah, no, absolutely. Like, there's definitely a lot of tips and tricks, but I mean, that just goes for the entirety of the game, you know. And not everyone knows everything. I'm learning stuff every day from your interaction, and you know, whether it be something more casual, like, oh, you know, on this world quest you can actually do this; it's much faster, or you know, even something in Mythic Plus, you know. Mm-hmm. It's good. That's what community interaction is all about, right? You help each other out, and I think it's awesome. But yeah, there's always something to learn. And with these dungeons, I mean, even in Raid, I mean, to this day, we get asked, like, why do you run in and, like, reset the boss in every time you're about to, like, pull it, right? Like, why are you running into Ursoc's room and grabbing him and resetting him? And it's because, well, a lot of people use Bloodlust on Trash, and if you reset the boss, it resets your sated debuff. So you can kind of get Lust on Trash and then Lust on the boss. It just saves some time for net clear speed, you know, stuff like that. So it just, there's always something to learn. So yeah, definitely, I think it's pretty cool. But I mean, it's tough for some people to kind of sit down, like just like right now, you asked me to kind of put me on the spot. You know, I can think of like some off the top of my head, but it's mm-hmm. more so when you're actively in the dungeons, you know, mm-hmm. it's people are like, oh, why do they do that? Like, what's going on? It's like, oh, well, if you do this, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. You know, there's just stuff that you don't think about until you do it and be like, oh, yeah, that's why we do this, you know.
Well, since you mentioned Hall of Valor.
I was going to say, you want to get into some of these.
Yeah, since you mentioned Hall of Valor. We have a question from Aleva here that says, I'd be curious on how to handle the bolstering mechanic for places like Hall of Valor that have a lot of technical pulls while also being fairly large. Besides just having massive DPS, that particular mechanic can cause some nasty pulls if you're not careful, especially for less experienced geared groups.
So, well, yeah, I mean, one is, okay, so the key, I think, is to know exactly what Bolster does, right? So again, Bolster, whenever a trash mob dies, it will buff anything around it within, like, I think it's 50-ish yards, something around there, for 20% health and damage, right? So knowing that, you have one of two options. Either kill things when nothing else is around them, so it doesn't bolster anything, or you got to kill things at the same speed.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you have to have tremendous DPS to, you know, kill it right away. You just have to have disciplined DPS, right? If you pull two mobs and mob A has 50 health and mob B has 100 health, then you should probably be DPSing single target mob B a bit, or at least getting some efficient but not too much cleave on mob A. And the goal is to kind of kill them at the same time, right? So you need twice as much damage into mob B as A, and the goal is to kind of kill them at the same time. So that's kind of the general strat that people approach, you know. There are some packs that are definitely nastier. There's some mobs that have so much health compared to like a bunch of little like spiders nearby or whatever it may be. And there's, you know, different ways you can approach this. Again, either just be very disciplined, maybe skip the pack entirely if that's an option, which of course is not always. Or what some groups do, if you really want to play it safe, is you can, you know, CC whatever mob you're worried about. Like if there's 100 health mob and a bunch of like tiny 10 health mobs nearby and everyone's super heavy AoE spec, I mean, you can just CC, you know, if you can, with whatever you have, Root, you know, Repentance, whatever it may be, that higher health mob and drag everything way far back, like 50 plus yards.
What kill if them. Your Warlock keeps cleaving that mob that you had CC'd off in the corner?
I would suggest then not bringing a Warlock.
Whoa,
oh, shoot.
What if he has the legendary bracers that did it by itself?
Wait, Warlocks are still in this game? I'm just kidding.
Yes.
This is hypothetical, of course.
Totally have to say it never happened for real.
Oh, I see. This is a theoretical situation.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, there's no way to avoid bolster entirely, right? It's a mechanic that's meant to be very restrictive. You can't just chain pull. You can't just mindlessly cleave everything down. So you'd have to be a bit more structured on how to kill it. But just keep those rules in mind. Either kill everything at the same rate, and so it dies at, in an ideal manner, everything dies at the exact same second, or you CC and drag it like to, you know, way far back and kill it at a very, very safe distance and then come back in. Of course, one is way more time friendly than the other, but requires better coordination too.
I'll read this one from Daggard then here. He asked, how does Sloop feel about the gear rewards that come from Mythic Plus? Are they too strong? Is it okay for them to be strong because the level of difficulty of running a 10 plus dungeon? Most people, best gear that I see, have a pretty good amount of high roll Mythic Plus gear and raid gear. I think I know where you're headed with this, but I'd like to hear your answer.
Well, I mean, I think it's honestly kind of something we already touched on. I think it's okay. I do. With the Titan Force, like, people have this, you know, there's a lot of worry when they even introduce this Titan Force system. There's a lot of worry in the community to be like, oh, what's even the point of like mythic raiding anymore? I just go raid LFR and get like full 895, you know, like it doesn't work that way. Swallow the pill, if it's tough for you to swallow or you enjoy it, that Blizzard has introduced formats for unlimited farming in this game, then you just got to realize that it is what it is. You run it. Not only do you not have it, you have to get a piece of loot in the first place. And then that piece of loot has to proc, right? And the highest baseline right now is, I think 870, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's 870 from rank 12s. So that piece of loot still has to proc 5 times in order to get 895 pieces, whereas Mythic Rating is already baseline 880. So, you know, is it, what do I think about the high power items that you get from it? I mean, it's not, you know, you used to get one piece of loot per chest per player in like beta Mythic Plus, and they nerfed it down to only one piece of loot for two players. So like 60% nerf, loot nerf or whatever. So if you're putting the work in for the higher dungeons, which for like a lot of average or even like semi-casual or semi-hardcore folk is not like something that you just sneeze at, you know, it's still a time investment. You are playing this game, then, you know, all the power to them. I personally don't really see anything wrong with it. And as long as Blizzard takes that into account, which they didn't with Emerald Nightmare, but they did with Helya, to understand the kind of relative player power that exists for people that go really hardcore with it versus people that don't go as hardcore but have the accessibility to it if they want, I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? And again, we mentioned earlier, you can't get, and I think a lot of this will start to sink in as Nighthold hits for some people because they forgot, or, you know, you can't get some really high powered items like some trinkets that may exist in Nighthold, but more importantly, set bonuses, you know? So while you might have access to a lot of raw eye level boosts through Mythic Plus, if you're lucky enough to do it or good enough or whatever, you still don't have access to what is probably going to be perceived as the best PvE gear in the game, PvE gear in the game from Nighthold, because, well, people want said bonuses a lot of the time.
Well, I think one thing that is good about this, and you kind of made this point earlier, was that putting this unlimited grind system in basically says, even if you have bad RNG, even if you don't get the perfect stats, if you're willing to put in the work, you will get the gear. And that's something that is, like, I think, appealing to a lot of people, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, it's not – I think it's cool also just, you know – I keep answering this from like a competitive rating standpoint, whatever, but like just that aside, I mean, I think it's just neat to have this kind of system for people that can't or just don't want to raid, right? I mean, it makes sense that they can get these really awesome items and they feel rewarded for their time and they get that proc and maybe a legendary and that just feels awesome when they run it. I think that's really cool. I really do. So I have no problem with it. And yeah, because you can obtain some, again, back to the like, competitive aspect, yeah, because you can obtain some of the best gear, whatever. Everyone's on the same playing field, right? You still have to have a chance, and Blizzard's philosophy is, you know, if you're playing this game this much, then it makes sense that you're rewarded for the more aspects of the game that you play, right? So it makes sense if you run Mythic Plus every hour of every minute of every minute of every hour of every day versus somebody who maybe runs a couple hours a night or every other night because they get home from work, that you probably vastly increase your chances of getting those better items or maybe legendaries versus the other person. That, in my books, is okay, but this is speaking that a guy that does do it a lot. So I understand some people definitely have frustration with it, right? Because they're the guys on the opposite end of the spectrum that aren't lucky or whatever it may be. But I don't know. You know, I mean, kind of makes sense, right? That I don't know if it's right for people to expect that they should have access to everything in the game versus some people that don't play as much. Nothing to do with, like, skill or whatever it may be. In life, you know, I mean, you put a lot of effort in something, it makes sense that you're rewarded a bit more for it, IMO, but, you know, not everyone agrees, and that's crap.
All right, we have another question here. Someone asked it, so we'll ask it as well. But Nero asks, please clarify if the acceptable pronunciation when speaking of these runs, Mythic Plus or Mythic Plocks?
The hard-hitting journalism.
You betcha.
Can we take a break before this one? I think it is Mythic Plus, if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to mess with some people at Blizzard about this one. But.
All right.
Gloria asks, I'd like to know who is his favorite Pokemon and why it's Alolan Dugtrio. I'm lost on this one. But
yeah, I have no clue.
I thought maybe there was some sort of inside joke that I'd missed.
I don't know what the Alolan part is, but I think I'm not even sure if the Doug Fair is referencing this, but there was a last week I went to do, a week and a half ago, I went to do that Mythic PV dungeon casting at Blizzard. And there was a guy on one of the teams. Yeah, there was a guy on one of the teams named Thunder Diglett. And Laura and I went on a completely random Pokemon tangent, making fun of his Thunder Diglett name and saying how, like, he can't be Thunder Dugtrio, because if he was Dugtrio, then, you know, they'd have seven people on the team instead of five, or just being, like, stupid and silly. So I'm not sure if that's what that's referencing.
I forgot about that.
My favorite Pokemon. But I guess my favorite Pokemon's Dugtrio by default now, apparently. But yeah, so let's just go with Dugtrio.
That actually leads me into back into a more legitimate question here. What's your take on the 4 DPS no heals strategy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. There's definitely some classes that are quite capable of support healing or just supporting, period. Prop Paladins, one of them, Shaman, can do pretty well too. And I think that's cool. You know, druids, priests, etc. I don't know. I think that's cool. I honestly don't really see it on live. I don't see it very often at all. And whenever it's brought up, it's usually like a lol kind of thing, you know? But I don't think it's like, if you have a good geared coordinated group and you're trying to farm whatever it may be, I mean, I think you could honestly get a fair bit out of it.
Especially with Pally's heals, and, you know, Pally's off heals are just pretty incredible. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I kind of think to like our, not just my, but like a lot of people do the whole like, you know, grinding mythic 7, 8, 9, you know, viewer keys, or like I said, you know, you go into the group finder and kind of get a pug rolling, and you know, they help you by giving their key, and you help by boosting and whatever. You know, even thinking to that, I mean, some of these guys do these dungeons so much that, you know, they know them inside and out. They know what damage to avoid. They know what damage is coming. They know how to prevent incoming damage or mitigate it because it's inevitable, whatever it may be. So you can probably get away for some pretty efficient groups with like a 4 DPS, 1 tank combo, and one of the DPS is like a pug or whatever, you know? I really don't think that's outside the realm of possibility. But then you got to keep in mind the reason you're bringing the extra DPS is to, well, kill things faster, right? So in a lot of situations, there's a very big kill or be killed scenario, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a novelty. What level were the mythic dungeons that you guys were casting?
Tens.
They were
tens.
Oh, really? And they were doing it with 4 DPS? I guess I didn't realize that. Jeez.
Well,
or what? Was it one team doing that?
No, it was one team doing it. It was, you're right, one team did have one tank, 4 DPS, but they were like the tens that they put forth. They put forth an affix combination that doesn't exist on live. So like I said, the third affix, the level 10 affix, is always a numerical modifier that either makes trash a lot harder or bosses a lot harder. And they chose for the semifinals, which is where this 4 DPS, 1 tank thing happened, to actually omit that particular affix and put in an affix that is just a small mechanical check and is generally quite easy. So I think that's kind of what allowed them to, you know, get away with that a bit more.
Wow.
In the finals, okay. You know, in the finals, it was level 10 again, but Tyrannical was back, and Tyrannical means bosses are a lot harder, and they actually opted to go back for a healer on that one. So I think eventually there's kind of just, you know, a limit you hit in terms of being able to get away with the 4 DPS thing. It's more of like a farm, or I'd say 9 or below mythic plus difficulty, depending on the group you're running with. I mean, is it impossible for 10 plus? No, but, you know, you start to get into the realm of like gear and really well coordinated groups, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Rob, do you have any more questions?
I could keep going off on tanking tangents forever, but I think we hit this topic pretty well.
Slu, do you have any last final point you want to add about Mythic Plus?
I'd say, and you know, it's kind of based on what you guys said. I think that it's a really cool kind of community thing, and you know, like everything in this game, you can be off put by it a bit, and the community can be a bit harsh about it and whatever, but I think it's something that you should definitely try and embrace. And a lot of people I've talked to that are kind of like, I don't know, dungeons, have kind of given it a shot and really enjoyed it in the end. And you'd be surprised that you can kind of the friends or, you know, connections or whatever that you can make through these dungeons and how it'll go down. You know, maybe you'll like it, maybe it won't, but I would say definitely give it a shot if it's not a part of the game you've really explored, because I think that it's a feature that they've worked on really hard with this expansion, and for the most part, at least, it's actually been quite successful. IMO.
All right.
So check it out.
Cool. All right. Well, you can send us an email at the show at thetrainingdummies.com if you have any questions about this topic or future topics. You can also check out our website. That is at thetrainingdummies.com, and we have an easy Discord server address now, which is discord.me/TTD. Something is wrong with my soundboard.
Uh-oh. It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
It's like the lottery. Is the soundboard going to work or not? All right, Rob, what do you have for shoutouts?
A wonderful thing we don't edit. It's so good. Let's see. To the raid team, because we actually went in and did a lot more than I was planning on this last Friday. And you know, I think we ended up three tanking just about everything because a friend of ours came with us who doesn't play anything but a tank. So that was pretty fun. So shout out to the raid team. Special shout out to Slu. Thank you so much for poking a hole in your schedule and letting us come and hang out with you for a little while.
No, it was my pleasure, guys. Honestly, it was a blast. It was great to be here.
Very cool. Daryl, what about you?
Yeah, raid team as well. That was great. So hopefully we'll get Xavius this week, and I think we've got a good chance at that. I'm really looking forward to that. And yeah, Sloot, I want to congratulate you again on third for Nightmare and second for Valor. So going by that progression, I'm expecting to see you guys first in Nighthold.
Same. Let's hope.
Yeah.
Do our best.
Yeah, but good luck on that, and congratulations on the past, and thanks for joining us this evening.
For sure, man. My pleasure.
Do you have any shout-outs?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, just shout-out to you guys for inviting me.
All right, well, that's short and simple. Before we wrap this up, where can people reach you if they have more questions about this or anything else?
So the best two places are, well, three places, I suppose. So my Twitch, twitch.tv/slootbag. Either through my site, slootbag.com, which is legit, I promise. Or you can tweet me at slootbag. And I usually check those at least once a day, usually before I go live. So I'm pretty good about answering my PMs. I've actually answered over 7,000 Twitch messages as of yesterday.
Wow.
That's a lot of Twitch messages. Yeah. Usually pretty good about it. And I'll miss a day or two here and there. But I do my best.
Well, I believe that does it for episode 149 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, or our website at thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with the mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.